Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast, a Jaybird.
Steve!
How's your sucker hanging?
Whew. What a week, man. What a week. How are you doing?
I am freaking wore out to the floor out, Jay. It is, folks, if you don't know, it is the Southern Muskie Bonanza. So, man, it is crazy. Of all things, Jay, I got some guys on the boat as of today down from Green Bay. It is 70 degrees, which is completely not normal. Mm. So it's 70 today. So we're doing that. If anybody's wondering, the spawn is on. So it depends on where it is. One thing I throw out this for you Southern guys or guys that are fishing, you know, where there's no ice, photo period. It is the amount of daylight more than temperature that'll get you. And that's the deal. So you rattle trappers, get shallow. Jay, shallow.
Yep. Shallow. Keep it tight. Nice. Well, that sounds like fun. 70 degrees. Fish are spawning.
I get freaking.
Oh, man. Everything's warming up. Sounds beautiful.
I got three guys from the Bay of Green that are so sunburnt today. It's ridiculous.
Oh, no. Yeah, I bet.
It is ridiculous.
We're awful pale around here.
I got a big shout out, though, Jay.
Okay.
So I've not even told you this yet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, okay. Folks, I got something lined up here. I'm actually going to film an episode of Muskie Shop TV, Jay, with, are you ready for this?
I think I know what you're going to say.
The Amish Mafia, baby.
Nice. Oh, okay. That wasn't it. Okay.
No, that's not what he's thinking. Big shout out, Amish Dave. So I didn't know the Amish, on the sly, they listened to the podcast, Jay.
Yeah, that's cool. That is so cool.
You know, we're out there doing what we do. But yes, there are Amish muskie fishermen that are passionate about the sport. We had a heck of a time, and so Jay, this is no joke. I'm really thinking there is going to be an episode where horse and buggy backs up the Steve Paul low muskie beast boat. So we're
gonna be different.
It's gonna be different, boys. It was a hoot. I was dying. We had just a heck of a time and getting out there and just beating the water, man. But you know, it's that time of year. Like I said, the Southern guys. There's we're gonna catch up on some Q&A. Big announcement, guys. I've been just dragging you along forever, Jay. You know what's coming.
Yep.
Yeah, it's coming, boys. We have them. I know where they're at. I'm not even going to say what I know, what it is. But you know what you're waiting for. They're about to be here in a second. So we got one thing. Got to get them in the system, right? Jay personally went and killed 14 Somali pirates to get them.
Took them out.
Out. Have you ever seen the movie Cobra? Jay at Practica was Cobretti.
Sylvester Stallone?
Yeah.
Cobretti! That
anyway, oof. That's the thing, boys. Goodness gracious.
Well, look forward
don't,
to...
Don't say the name. Don't say it's Voldemort. Don't say the name.
No, but there is an epic sci-fi adventure, probably the greatest science fiction film ever compiled, put together as we speak.
Probably, I'm really proud of the bait that will go unnamed. All right, mm-hmm. We're going to talk about those next week. There's going to be, I promise you this, if things go to plan, next week we're going to do the regular podcast and we're going to do a Dive and Rise masterclass, if you can imagine why I put two and two together.
Ooh, baby.
So two in 1 week, but in typical Jay and Steve fashion, all week long, I've been getting off the boat. We've been working on stuff. Jay's been busting his hump. Let's just say it, Jay.
Do it. Yep.
Elmer Jensen's The Quest for Titan. It is a space opera. Put Star Wars to shame, period. Forget about it. Trash. Yeah. Right?
End of story.
Jay, Star Wars in comparison to Elmer Jensen's The Quest for Titan is what? Trash. Trash. right? Star Trek The Next Generation in comparison is what? Trash. The new movie Dune, trash. That's it. Forget about it. It's the greatest sci-fi musky movie ever filmed.
It is.
Period. Enough said. Mike.
I can't tell you guys. I'm so excited about this, putting it together. I've been working on it every night. And a little teaser, Steve just did some voiceover work before we're starting recording here tonight.
In a world.
It is great stuff. Oh, there's some good, funny stuff in this thing. I got a lot of work to do, but it's going to be done, and we'll put that out next week.
It's the Schindler's List of musky fishing.
That's what critics are already saying. They're raging. That first screening, that screening we had the other night. Yep. That's what they're saying.
Folks, me and Jay came up with this garbage, and Jay has been just freaking, he is the Francis Ford Coppola of Dive and Rise musky movies.
That's
pretty much, you've created your own genre of musky Dive and Rise sci-fi.
What an innovator.
It is the funniest thing I've ever seen. Elmer Jensen, The Quest for Titan. Don't care. Oh, man. Shit's funny. I'll tell you that much. If nothing else. You listen to this podcast and you go, these gangs are kind of stupid, Jay. They're kind of stupid. Don't care. If we laugh, that's all that matters, you know. We're on like episode 5064 here, and I'm ready for it. The Quest for Titan, it's coming, guys. I'm joking about it. We know where the Titans are. They are in the custody of good hands. They're going to be out here in a second, but we're going to talk about the Bates next week, barring any catastrophes, and then the release of Elmer Jensen's A Quest for Titan, the greatest musky sci-fi dive and rise movie ever made, period.
Yep. There you go. Enough said. Enough it's said. Coming, baby. What? It's coming. God, great. Keep your eyes on social media.
Or off, one of the two. What are you going to do? Right. One thing I want to talk about, because we're keeping her short here, because daddy's working hard, Jay. I'm out there killing myself.
Yep.
Is, let me get here. Where is he at? Ba, 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 ba. It's one of the Q&A questions I saw. And it's worth getting there and just talking about. So DK, all right? He says, hey, boys. Thanks for the great podcast.
Meow.
So I fish on Cave Run every winter and spring. And the lake ends up flooding because of all the rain. They continuously pull water out of the lake, and it seems to affect the fish. Any tips or tricks for fishing high water that's falling all the time? What's going on? So, if you're up there on the ice, it doesn't apply, but there's a lot of southern guys, whether West Virginia, Kentucky, you know, all these places where we just got dumped on.
Mm-hmm.
Massive amount of water. I talked to some of them Kentucky boys, you guys might know them. Oh, Tony Grant. Tony Grant. Talk to him. I think he said it's like 14 feet high. Gabbing with Tony, grabbing with Greg. And talk about this.
14 feet high.
It was something ridiculous. It happens. It happens some years where you get these massively high flood waters.
Right.
Couple tips here just for guys they're dealing with is, and when this is the here and now, and this is what you're dealing with if you're fishing in the south or even in the eastern, you know, Pennsylvania-ish stuff, high water. Those fish, if that water is upper 40 somewhere in that neighborhood, they're gonna go shallow. And when I say shallow, I mean nasty shallow. So there are things that happen, you know, especially Cave Run, where there are fish that get caught off of picnic tables, port-a-johns, and boat ramps.
Sure.
And so don't be afraid to get shallow. Launch the boat and get way, 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 way up there. Okay? There's the classic southern rattle trap bite. That could be a Lungeon rattle trap. You know, there's the J.B. Rattler, which are practically the same. And then you got Cotton Cordales. You got Bill Lewis. Get up there and burn them. Burn them, burn them, burn them, burn them, burn them. Right? Don't be afraid to get up in that skinny water and just give it some burn. Right.
When these, can I ask you, when these reservoirs do get that much water and they're rising that fast, I mean, how long does it take them to alleviate that? I mean, are they
ever, forever?
They got stuff wide open. The gates are wide open. Mm-hmm. So it's a very slow response in terms of coming back down.
Like down in Tennessee, hold on, I about knocked over a bunch of empty Pepsis here. Actually, a podcaster was on the boat, and he asked me this week. He said, "You switched from Pepsi to Diet Coke?" Yeah, I did.
Not a boy.
Yeah, that's a boy. Anyway, if you've been on the boat, I drink Diet Coke like it's going out of style. But when I get home, I drink them Pepsis, you know? Mm-hmm. Blue can. What happens, Jay, is it depends, because all of the southern reservoirs were put in place. I mean, hydroelectric generation is a byproduct of flood control, right? So they want to generate some electricity there, but primarily it was to keep these large areas from flooding out. So they are just sort of nursing the water out as quickly as they can, as much as the rivers can contend with it, right?
Yeah, I suppose, right.
Yeah, and so what you'll see is, like, in the reservoir, it'll be way above where it should be. All your bait fish, everything's going to move up into those zones, because you got to think about just that entire food chain of, here's all this new ground introduced that hasn't been underwater. There are grubs, bugs, worms, everything sort of introduced in a flood. The whole food chain sort of takes advantage of that. The muskies are going to follow suit. Now you're sort of getting like, how long does it take or what's going on? I've been chocolate milk, and I mean like dirty, awful, horrible water for a week and a half.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's not going to stop. So you get this torrential inch and a half, 2 inches of rain in a short period of time. It just never ends. Your creeks are flooded. They look gross. They look bad. That's just going to be the nature of the beast in those scenarios. So you got to sort of contend with, how do I deal with this and what do I do? Go shallow, go shallow, go shallow, go shallow. The fish that are going to slump down, and there's muskies, like, and it seems like bigger fish, right? The big, big, big ones are going to just sort of slump down where they were and hold tight. When it's flood stage, I really feel like I'm fishing for upper 30s, mid 40s.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I mean, it just is what it is. You're dealing with what you're dealing with. And so you're not swinging for the fences, but you're looking for action. And I've seen it, especially on Cave Run, where a picnic table becomes structure, and you will catch fish off of a picnic table. Or the boat ramp's flooded way up. So here's this deal where this concrete becomes warmer than the ambient surroundings, and the actual boat ramp you launched of, you just backed your boat over the fish you're trying to catch.
Good point.
Yeah, anything that's got flooding to it, anything that's got structure, and it can take days, weeks to sort of get things back to normal. Because like at Cave Run or in Tennessee, like in Cave Run, it's the licking, and they've got to get that thing. They've got to let that water out without just like open it wide open, and they're going to flood everything. All the reservoir systems are primarily flood control, because this stuff used to just massively flood, so they've got to sort of incrementally let it out. And you, at a certain point, the sediment starts working its way south, 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 south. And they clean out, and then it gets back to normal. You just hope it doesn't happen again. But if you're dealing with that, which a lot of guys are dealing with right now, just forget it. I've wasted a lot of time in my life getting out and trolling through crap, right? You'll see floating logs and this, and just chalk it up. It is what it is. Fish shallow, fish, you know, slammers, rattle traps, small blades, and just get up there and work that stuff. That would be sort of the takeaway.
Mm-hmm.
You know, okay. It is what it is. It's southern as it gets. Anyway, Jay, let's knock out some Q&A here. We got big stuff coming up next week. This one cracked me up. Pat Menards hey guys, this weekend is a special event at the Muskie Shop where I've seen it advertised there'll be hot dogs. Will Jay opt for the hot dogs or the hot dogs from the local supper club? Just wondering if I need to bring some supper club food for Jay, because I know Steve, the guru, has mentioned he only eats food from such establishments. Now, here's my other question. What's up with the swimming raider? I never hear anything about it. It seems like a cool bait. Love the podcast. He actually said podcat, but I don't want to meow again. Jay, talk to me about these hot dogs.
Hot dogs? Well, it's, I think Jim's got a, what is this, what does he call those things?
Jimmy dogs.
No, not Jimmy dogs.
Winner wieners.
Jim's Choice or something like that? I don't know. It's some award-winning hot dog thing that you only breaks them out like once a year.
Jim,
but when he does, it's for major occasions like our annual in-store sale, which is tomorrow, Saturday.
It's so, just a hot dog with Made Right topping on top of it, right?
Yep. He puts some Made Rights on there. And well, you could decorate it any way you want. You know, let's face it. You know, there's different things put on there, and free soda and coffee and stuff like that to keep everybody amused in our shop. We've got it's a big sale, so... It's in store only, but yeah, it's a big deal, and there's gonna be some reps on hand. Oh, one of the reps just went out of his way to help too. He contacted our rep. His name's Miles. Really cool guy. You'll meet him if you come by. He's got a table and a bunch of new Shimano stuff to show or answer any questions you got on Shimano gear. Like, you know, when are you going to make more tranks and stuff like that?
Yeah, are you guys making more tranks?
But he's heard that a few times. But we have some tranks, just not all models have been available. But anyway, he's got, you know, the Skix rod that you got, Steve. I know you got
I've
at least one Skix.
Yeah,
got $400 rod, right?
Boom.
We're giving away two of those tomorrow.
Two. I'm winning two. One of them.
Yeah, you just put your name in the hat, and at the end of the day, we're drawn for it, so...
Those are a great. Those are a really good rod.
Yeah, it really is. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know you've been very happy with yours, and I tried it out a little bit. It's a responsive, nice, light, high-end, cool rod.
Still like my shield rod better.
Yeah,
but well, that's
those two. We got those two, and they're going to be on sale at the
that was my big
the store.
I'll say this, but the shields. I fished the Skix because that was like the non-crazy price 9.6. And there's a lot of similarities between the two. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge, yada, 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 yada.
Hmm.
You know, grips, stuff like that. But yeah, the Skix is a good rod, and it's good if you show up to the customer appreciation and get it for free. Doesn't get much better than that. It's quality stuff. Miles is a cool dude, but I didn't know there would be wieners, Jay.
Yep.
What's the most wieners you've ever eaten in one day?
Here we go.
Anyway, so he says, the real question was, what's up with the swimming raider? Are we talking like the swimming Joe or?
The swimming raider. That was an imported deal that, you know, I don't know if they're still making them, to be honest with you.
I've always called them a swimming Joe.
Yeah, that it was a soft... It was like a soft exterior to this like rigid plastic exoskeleton type deal with a diving lip.
Right.
And I'll be honest with you. I'm not trying to diss the product or anything. I mean, they ran good and everything, but I'm not sure if they're still available. We haven't had those in a long time.
JBO still sells them.
Do they? Okay.
Yeah. Moving on. Not my
good question though.
Good question. It
good. Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with it. It's one of those baits. Like I think it's mainly with salt, and they import it and all this stuff. Just never really got a lot of traction. I think you can do a lot of, in my opinion, for what it's worth, shallow invader. You know, just go that route and you're going to be in better shape. Greg B., I'm driving 5 hours to the Muskie Shop on Saturday to pick up some rods. Well, what do you know? That's funny.
Bingo.
What do you prefer on your shield rod? Racquetball wrap or heat shrink? Can't wait to get the shield rod and join the shield rod army. Definitely need a shield rod blessing from that 420 spinning half pipe grinding legend of the sport, Elmer Jensen. See y'all Saturday. Nice. I didn't even, that's funny. You're wow. talking about that. So
very nice.
People have been asking about the heat shrink. That came yeah. from yours truly.
Yeah, I know. I call it the Steve Paul heat shrink.
It is. And so yeah. I sourced that from Saltwater. Found a size that would fit a musky size rod. I fish it every day, all day. The wrap, I don't like the wrap because it doesn't feel as great. I recently, I just got some new 9.6 and 9-foot shield rods from the musky shop for the new batch that showed up. Mm-hmm. And I said, you know what? I'm going to clean up all my rods. And it's just like one of those guide things. You pull out all your rods, check all the eyelets, do all the crap. I try to do it every couple weeks. And I said, you know what? I'm going to just do a fresh, because I got the new rods, right? And they look spiffy new. And I got the rods from last year. And I went, let me just re-shrink them and clean them up. I took the heat shrink off of them, and they look brand new, Jay.
Sure.
And they've caught.
That's the concept right
yeah,
there.
Yeah, and they've caught a ton of fish. I'm talking Jay's fished on them. People fished on them all summer long. Mm-hmm. They're laying in the boat the whole time. Bah, 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 bah. And for me, it's not about keeping the cork. It's not like, oh, the cork looks new under the heat shrink when I took it off. For me, it was like, and the reason I do that stuff is if you take a rod that has EVA, the foam, right? The whole mm-hmm. rod, the whole grip is foam. It's got this spongy feel to it. And the longer you fish it, the spongier it gets, right? It starts softening from usage. I don't like the feel of that. And they get nasty and they get, and it reminds me of a cat fishing rod or some garbage. So you don't have that tactile feel. It starts getting gross. You go to this other stuff, the wraps and stuff, they start feeling weird. The reason I do the heat shrink is you have the feel of cork, you have the rigidity of that material and the same tactile feel, but you're not wearing and tearing it. So you pull your heat shrink off and it's clean under there, and it's like having a new rod every time you reheat shrink it.
Stuff works great when it's wet. It's non-slippery, it's tacky, it's yep. got a, but yet it's comfortable and it's very inexpensive.
The thing for me, and like I said, you know, tout my own horn, toot, toot here, is when I started doing that, I had not really seen it done. And I was like, I don't like any of the wraps because I don't want them. I don't like when it has a friction against my clothing, Jay. Right?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Okay.
Like,
I know.
Do this all day, every day. And so it's like I'm jerk bait fishing. I don't want it to. It sounds goofy, but you feel that rod against your ribs. I want everything to like not be. Like you said, it's not tacky in this grippy thing. It's dry. It doesn't have there's no goop to it. But when you grip it, you have a better grip.
Yeah.
And that was my big thing. The other thing is this, is I got tired of chewing my rod handles up. You know, trolling headlocks, 14-inch Jakes and 13-inch Grandmas. If you got a downy, salty, you got Scotties, you can tear your rod cork up, pulling big baits fast. And putting that wrap on there, that's the only thing that's getting wear. And so if you wear through the heat shrink, you just reheat shrink it. And it provides that extra little layer of protection. And it's not about like having new cork. It's about the form, the shape of the cork, and the feel of the cork. Mm-hmm. So, you know, whatever. So obviously I'm biased. I don't like the wrap. That was my alternative for that. Camden, hey guys, love the podcast and I love Musky Shop TV. I'm curious, will you be defending your title in the Musky Battle this year? Also, in about 2 weeks, I'll be going through and knocking. I'm going to stop by the Musky Shop for the first time. Super excited to see the shop. You know, he said he's going to leave his possum at home. What should he check out? I don't know if we're going to defend our title.
I don't know. We've got a busy schedule. I don't know when they're having it this year on top of that. So we've got a lot of trips planned. I don't know.
There's a lot of stuff else going on there too, boys. I could tell you later. Anyway, what a joke. Don't know. We'll see. You know, sometimes it's better just leave the champ and let it be. I've had a lot of people sort of message about that. It was fun. But it's one of those deals of running the app, running the shop, running everything else, filming for the show, it gets busy and it's got to be worth your time. As far as going to the shop, Jay, I would say if somebody's not been there, and there's a lot of Muskie Shop questions, didn't plan it this week, but I guess people are thinking about that sale coming up. You know, just freaking walk it once and then walk it again slow. Like when I see people come to the shop the first time, there's so much. You're like, it's overwhelming.
Yeah. Everything's just packed in there right now and full. Mm-hmm. There's several aisles. You know, you come in, you know, it depends on who's working. Elmer would be more than happy to give you a guided tour.
Right.
If you pay him.
$50 a step.
Yeah. He generally doesn't do anything for free.
A chocolate glazed donut.
But anyway, like Steve said, walk the aisle. And, you know, we had some first-time people that were in today that they'd never been in there. And they were serious muskie fishermen. I forgot where they're from. But, you know, it was funny because I kept checking in on him every once in a while to see how he was doing, if he was finding everything, you know, or if he was looking for anything in particular because – you know, everything's kind of set up by manufacturers. It's not like, you know, we have all bucktails in one area, you know, like the Joe Booker stuff's in one section, all his stuff is together. So you got to kind of walk the aisles and take it in and then walk it again.
Yeah.
And see what you missed.
I'll tell you, it was always when I was a kid and I'm talking years back. That was always the pilgrimage, and it's so cool to just see all the baits in one place, in one store. It's like going to a muskie show anytime you walk in. Everything's there. All these people go to shows, like, I'm going to a muskie show. Dude, the muskie shop's a muskie show every day. You know, and you're just like, it can get a little intense. You're like, I want it all.
Like some people ask you, I think someone asked you not too long ago, if custom colors are so great,
why don't they sell them all year? you know, that's my thing, is like all this stuff. Like, we've got custom colors. We've come up with the best. No, you didn't.
The best show colors you've ever seen.
If they were the best colors for those baits, the manufacturers would make them available to everyone and they'd sell them year round. They are the best colors to get schmucks to buy them. Moving on. Man, I don't need to soapbox today, but I'm feeling kind of soapboxy. I don't know. Do you want the best collar for, like, the best custom collar is, Jay?
What the best collar for the best custom collar
is? I'm sorry. I slurred a little bit. The best. It's black. The best collar. I'm making
this. Midnight. Those. Cash. Black.
Yeah, black. You come up with, you know, different. Just paint it. Paint it black.
I've heard a lot of names for black, and it's a great basic color, and it's going to get the job done.
I want a headlock, and I want it painted black.
Ooh, that's a good song.
Uh-huh. Whatever. Moving on, Nate. Pretty new to musky fishing, and I've had no problem finding fish once the water warms up. Hold on. Okay, I see what he's saying here. Sorry, I was reading ahead here before I said it. Nate's fishing Lake St. Clair, and he's not having a problem when the water's warm. But when the ice goes out early and the waters are still cold, finding fish. Definitely not a Lake St. Clair expert, but muskies are muskies are muskies. Shallow. Go shallow. Find your warmest water available. Find the pre-spawn staging grounds. Anything that's going to provide that, you got some river stuff coming in there. You got some deep holes and then shallows adjacent to those. Those are going to be the ticket there. Jay, sort of give everybody the early season breakdown for what muskies do when the ice comes out. Here she comes.
You want it. Okay.
You wanted it. You got it.
On your typical lake. Yeah, northern exposure, you know, the sunlight's going to penetrate better on the north end of most bodies of water. And, you know, it's a gold mine if you've got some some influx of water, like some streams or creeks or rivers coming in too. But yeah, the northern sides with a shallower, look for shallower flats. It's going to attract bait fish, and it's going to warm up a little bit quicker than the southern end. And it's a good starting point. Have good electronics and look at those minuscule changes in temperature.
Nice. Heather says, thanks for the great podcast. Love listening. I've learned a lot and looking forward to getting in on the water this year. She wants to sign up for the Musky Shop Bash class. Is there still room? Excuse me. There is no limit, folks. We're going to do the Livingston Lures Musky School the day after the Bash. The Bash, what day is it, Jay?
Saturday, July 16th.
Musky School is the next morning, July 17th.
Is it the 16th? Let me make sure.
Oh, man. I've been up.
Yes, since, the 16th. It's July 16th.
I've been up since 5:45. You're supposed to be holding it together here, Jay.
I got up at 3.
You got up at 3? Why do you get up at 3?
Well, by mistake, and then I had a vision.
Of what?
You want to hear about it?
Yeah, tell me.
Well, it's complicated, but, you know, I not like I had insomnia, but something just came to me. It's like, I wrote it down here. Yeah, here we go. Do you suffer from insomnia? Trouble falling asleep? Well, the Musky Shop has provided a new audiobook online. John Mikniak's Bedtime Stories.
Oh, God. John Mikniak. It was the best of times.
Mary had a little lamb.
Guys,
guaranteed you'll fall asleep within 5 minutes or your money back.
We need to do a special podcast for people with insomnia where we just interview John Mikniak. We love John Mikniak, but John Mikniak has the weirdest pentameter of any human being ever. He'll be like, you know, sometime you'll catch muskies.
Johnny Boy, a.k.a. the Mick. Yeah.
Johnny Boy, a.k.a. the Mick. Yeah.
Yeah, so that came to me. I woke up and I'm like, oh boy, this is a problem. For some reason, the word insomnia came in, and I'm like, okay, you know, sounds like a podcast intro. So I wrote it down, and I went back to bed.
Sometimes when I wake up in the middle of the night, my pants are tight. Is that normal?
Okay. Yeah,
Jordan. Sure, hey guys, Steve. Love the podcast. I've been listening to all the past episodes at work. Makes the day go by quicker. One of the podcasts you guys talk about musky spawning patterns. I live in North Carolina. Fishes on a river for tiger muskies. Moving on here, which is do tigers spawn or do they go through the motions? Poo. I don't know. I've always thought they go through the motions. Jay, do you know that to be true?
Without
or not?
A doubt, I do not know. I think that, yeah, that's what I was always led to believe, that they
I've always they, heard they go
they attempt yeah, to they out attempt of it. Nature, you know, out of whatever, you know, is built in, but it's unsuccessful.
It's like Jay and his teens.
We'll have to have a biologist on to answer that one accurately.
You ever attempt to spawn, Jay, and it just fails?
Here we go.
Anyway. Man, I'm tired as hell, and a lot of Pepsi's here, folks. It's a banner episode. Josh, hey, Steve and Jay, I've reached the point of despair in that I could pass. Oh, he said, I had to pass on a shield rod this week, and it had a what? I don't know. I can't read. I just okay. Everything got fuzzy. I'm teasing. I was trying to work. Everything's going black, Jay. It's just a thing of context here. I have reached a point of despair, and that I could pass on the shield rod deal this weekend and had to ship it to a 14-year-old kid's house. Oh, okay. It's just the phraseology. He bought a shield rod and had it shipped to somebody else's house, but I get it. He said, keep on doing what you guys do at Levery Minute. Besides getting on the leaderboard of Musky Country, it's the only thing that's keeping my sanity in frozen Minnesota. Sounds like Pepsi's helping you too, the way you wrote that email, my friend. I was sitting there going, all right, it's all good. you know, I write some of that stuff too, but keep on working on it. I know Backlash Master, I see him on the game. Keep it up, my friend. Greg, do you think that a Micro Medusa with a Dozer spinner blade in front or an 8 blade or a Willow would be too big of a springtime presentation? No.
I'd make sure that the blade is small.
Yeah.
You know, like a number 8 Colorado, all something right. like that range would be probably appropriate for a, what are those, about 2 ounces?
Yeah, and the thing I'll say it's is this, bait. Is it's strange with rubber. Rubber baits are strange in downsized cranks, little blades, all these springtime musky post-spawn things, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then rubber will work. Like a bulldog, a regular, or like a mag bulldog. And that's always just really messed my brain up where you're going, I'm throwing rattle traps, I'm throwing bass-sized crankbaits, I'm throwing MEPS 5s, bulldog. Rubber just works. It works year-round. You might not even have to go Micro Medusa. You can go a standard bulldog or call it a regular dog or the regular-sized Medusa.
Yeah, yeah.
As well. They work post-spawn. They'll work the day after they spawn. For some reason, if that fish is actively feeding, they will hit rubber. Don't be afraid of that. Now, one thing I'd say is this, is what he's talking about, sort of a dozer setup or a front-end setup with a blade. It's already made for you, and I like it this time of year. I like the post-spawn deal of the Suzy. Is it the Suzy Suck or Curly? What is it, Jay, the spin? Suzy Spin, or what do they call it?
Curly Spin.
Curly Spin. That's a sleeper bait from hell, boys.
They really are.
So, yep. Here you've got the look, you got the tail, you got the blade for action, and for some reason, like the I know it's a Suzy Sucker. What do you call it? Hold on.
Yeah, with the paddle tail.
Would that be under, let's look at this real quick, because now you got my brain going.
It's under jerkbaits and rubber.
Jerkbaits.
Rubber.
Rubber.
Made by the Suic folk, Anago, Wisconsin.
What if it's just every company becomes the clan, the Suic clan? All right.
The Suic.
Suic clan of the Highlands of Wisconsin. Suic Curly Spin, right? 4.5 ounces, 12 inches with the tail. They're money. And it's a great bait for... And one thing I'll say is this. Not the most popular configuration is taking the bottom hook off and just running the one single. Or running a trailer above that. You can get this bait in some nasty stuff.
You know what's interesting with that thing, too? Years ago, I don't know if you saw that video. Like 6 years ago, we were doing videos on the water all the time, just doing quick like bait demos, you know?
I used to watch them.
We got permission from, this is before season. It's before musky season. Mm-hmm. We got permission from the warden to go out there and film. So,
right. You're demoing
with musky baits, right? And it was the only bait I ever threw doing those that a fish came up and almost ate it. And it's like, I mean, this is early. It was cold water. And we're trying to get in fairly shallow, calm water so that you can see underwater with the camera.
Filming,
you
know what I mean? Baits, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. They're throwing the bait, and I'm bringing this thing in, and I'm starting to kind of turn the bait and, low 40, mid 40 inch. It was a good-sized fish, came in, and it was, like, real slow. And then, mouth closed type deal. But it was like, holy crap.
You should have
loaded. Pretty cool.
Why didn't you load that toad, Jay?
He didn't hit it. I was figure eighting, but couldn't get him to go.
Couldn't get the gun fouled.
Couldn't get him to go.
Couldn't get his gun out fast enough. Just blasting boat side.
Shoot that, Todd. Shoot him.
Shooting Todd. No, that's a sleeper bait.
Yeah.
The Curly Spin. Suic Curly Spin. I don't know why it works so well. Like I said, my favorite configuration is taking the bottom hook off and adding a extra trailer hook with another single. You can drag that thing on the bottom.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's a good point. I was just going to bring that up.
Up on these flats, it's kind of nasty. Oh, Jay.
Steve Marino.
Dominic, hey, Gus. Kind of a really weird question here. I promise I'm not insane. Let's take a moment to digest that.
Okay.
Okay. He says, I bank yank. That's funny. I bank yank the middle Allegheny River. That's awesome.
It's a creaker.
Creaker. Bank yanking. Actually, I'm stealing that. Are you guys, Jay, are you a creaker or are you a bank yanker?
Hybrid.
Hybrid. Bank.
A little bit of both.
Creaker yanker. He said he ran into a tiger muskie and he's wet wading in the middle of the night. And he said, I made friends with this fish and it followed me around by my legs and it would swim around me. He said he took a video of it. He said, I know he'd believe it. He sent the video into the app, I believe. Have you guys ever seen a fish do this? Is it a known phenomenon or is this guy ridiculous and looking for his forever home? He said, you know, will fish do that? I don't know.
That's weird. That's crazy.
I've seen these things do nutty stuff.
Yeah.
I've seen them. I've had people, and Dominic, it's, you're not, I appreciate the email. I've had people send like messages like, don't read it on the podcast, but I had one follow my kayak. Right? Or I've had one come up and bite my kayak paddle.
Well, I've seen fish all the time, more than once, several times actually, where, you know, if you're in a boat that has a transom mounted trolling motor on the back, you know, it's like if you're moving, you know, you got a little clip going maybe a mile and a half, 2 miles an hour, that the blade on that, mm-hmm. the prop's spinning real slow. And it's like sometimes muskies will come up
and look
get
at
a foot
it.
Or so and just look at it. It's like they're hypnotized by that. They're drawn. It's putting out sounds. So although the motor not running, you know what I mean? It's just, it's going from, and sometimes they'll hang back there. Then they'll peel back a little bit, float down a little lower, then come back up again, you know, like minutes. It's weird.
You'll hear these guys, and if you've spent enough time on the water, you're going to see something weird. So, Dominic, you're not crazy. You might have had a Pepsi or 15, but...
He's the musky whisperer.
Yeah, I've seen them do weird stuff. Thinking of weird stuff I've seen, I have seen four muskies one time lined up nose to tail.
Huh.
I'm serious. The guy that was on the boat with me, he's listening to the podcast. It's a buddy of mine named Josh. We saw it. They're in inches. Nose to tail. It was like you went copy and paste. Copy, paste, copy, paste, copy. All the same size. Nose to tail. Just lined up there. Like I said, I've seen them follow kayaks. I've seen them just linger, like a pontoon boat move. Like they'll move a pontoon boat and they'll go under the shade of the pontoon boat, do stuff like that. You hear these stories about them. I hate the stuff about eating birds or whatever, but I mean, they just do what they want to do.
Well, these are probably the same fish that, you know, you see sunning themselves in the middle of a lake over
50
feet suspended. Yeah. You know, it's just like, oh, there's one. You know, kind of porpoising, just sunning itself, and it's like it's the same thing. They got to come up for some reason to.
I've seen
reorientate themselves or something.
I've seen them out in open water.
They're digesting
out at big open water. You get one of these dead flat, calm, sunny days, and you go out. There's nothing over there, and there's a group of them just they're hanging out. And so they'll do goofy stuff. I've talked about this on the boat with clients before that. I don't know if they play around, but sometimes it feels like they do. You know, at a certain point, like they're not eating all the time. They might do just goofy stuff or be curious. So I've seen them do weird stuff. I mean, I've seen muskies get released and then swim right back to the boat and sit there. I've seen that twice where you let a fish go and he goes away and he comes right beside the boat and just stays by the boat. Booker saw a fish. Not to tell his story, I don't know if he told it on the podcast or not, but where they caught a fish, right? And this just is to show how little we know. Is he caught a fish and he's reeling in, he sees another fish beside it, right, Jay?
Okay.
Lands the fish in the net and the other fish gets right beside the net and just sits there. He pulls the fish out, takes the pictures, releases the fish, and they swim off together. What is that? And you know what I'm saying? And like Joe Booker's word is in, you know, it is the gospel to me, you know, and he's not a BSer. And I'm sitting here going, if he says it happened, it happened. You know, it's just like, there's weird stuff. They're yeah. just, you know, when a fish is around for that kind of time frame, I mean, come on. I mean, we've had a lot of discussions on my boat about the ones that push their gills. You ever seen that, Jay, where their heads are come out, their mouths are wide open, they're thrushing their gills through the water and stuff?
Mm-hmm,
what's
mm-hmm.
that about? They do yeah. weird stuff. That's why we're obsessed with them. Bob, when do you start upsizing your baits in the spring? Is it based on water temp? I really like the IC9 bucktails. Is this too big for early season fish? Thanks for all the great podcasts. Oh, man.
Monday.
You got to have an idea where the spawn is, and then you got to, like, when the spawn happens, you go small, period. And you start interjecting back to standardized stuff. Don't go out there and it's like, I bought new double 12s. Jay, I went to a musky show and I bought some double 12s.
Wouldn't be my choice real early yeah. season at all.
Right. Get some action. Get some fish moving. Right. And you're going, okay, they're moving on husky jerks and they're moving on shad wraps. Yeah. They're moving on yeah. small stuff. And then the next trip out, you interject eights or you interject, you know, it's incremental. It's just what you're asking is what guides do is you're always adding in that next thing to stay ahead of it. Right. Don't be behind it. All the weekenders are behind on what's going on. Right. They're late to the party. So the way you stay ahead and early in the game is, okay, if they're hitting small, they're moving on small, you throw in some big. And then you find out, okay, they're moving on big and small. And then you realize that they're moving way more on the big stuff. And now you're back into big stuff. And you start working up from 7-inch to 10-inch. Right. And you just go through the system of small, small, small in the beginning. You know, season opener, ice out. With that being said, I shouldn't even say ice out because you don't want to fish the calendar. Don't fish the date. Fish the conditions, which, let's say if there's some crazy warm-up, Jay, it could be like, you know, balls to the walls post-spawn some years. So start with your small stuff and medium stuff and go from there. So small, add some medium, small, yeah. add some medium. Then you're going medium, add some big.
Different muskies are all at different stages too throughout the spawn. Mm-hmm. I've seen fish caught probably 2 to 3 weeks after many people have thought that the spawn was completely done and they were, you know, kind of coming out of the post spawn funk, and it's just like, whoa, that fish is full of eggs.
Yeah.
You know, in mid-June or, you know, the third yeah. week of June for us, which is late.
Yeah, it's late. So you just got to play with it. No solid answer. If you like your IC9s, I wouldn't do it the first week, but I might play with it a little bit under prime conditions on the second week and see if they're moving. If they're yeah. moving, they're not hitting, then go back down. That's just what you do guiding. And so you're trying to stay ahead of the pattern. The way you stay ahead of the pattern, you go to the next logical step as quickly as you can.
Mm-hmm.
And just keep interjecting it until it works. And you go, I know they're going to end up here, right? That's the question. We all know they're going to end up on 10s. Am I wrong? No. There will be fish caught on 10s. When is that start? Most people go, well, July. Well, it doesn't start in July. It starts earlier than that, but most people play catch up by then, right? So do what you should be doing and do what's the next thing you should be doing and the historical mm-hmm. patterns. What's the historical patterns? And then you realize, well, this is starting 2 weeks ahead of what everybody else is doing. And you just keep staying on that where you're interjecting it when you should appropriately interject it. Anyway, Jay, we have caught up. We got way more Q&A to do here, folks, but we're trying to stay on top of. We got another big episode next week, Jay.
We sure do.
Possibly two episodes. So we play catch up. I got to get on the boat early. Jay Bird, say goodnight.
Later, guys.
Later.